The Not So Great Outdoors contains stories of a graphic nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
The outdoors are great. Except when they're not.
Welcome to the Not So Great Outdoors. We're your guides. I'm Sav.
And I'm Piff. And this week we're telling the story of Grandma Gatewood.
Hey, I've literally never heard of that in my life.
I'm excited. You are going to love this.
I'm ready. You said you had 4 pages of notes. So
I have 6 pages of
six
notes.
6 pages?
At four, I was like, I really need to wrap this up. And then I wrote two more pages.
6 pages of notes.
So it's a long one. So just buckle up, guys. Also, it's fantastic. So I do have a little bit of an intro. So on this show, I think we can agree that I am known for bringing you basically the worst types of tales.
Yes.
When you turn on an episode and I'm telling the story, you pretty much know you should prepare for the worst. Murders, disappearances, and somehow I even make survival tales like bad.
Somehow, yeah.
Well, today I thought I would mix it up a little bit. So, in a few short weeks, one of my very good friends, Tessa, is starting her southbound thru-hike attempt of the Appalachian Trail. If you're a longtime fan, you might remember some of Tessa and her family's ghost stories on some of our early listener episodes. Also, they're distantly related to a pope who is, like, known for his vision. So, like,
cool.
They're really sensitive to paranormal and it's, like, in their blood.
Yep.
But before I, you know, get your hopes up, I'm not covering something paranormal. But I did want to give Tessa a proper send-off onto the trail.
Are you about to scare her?
No.
Okay.
Maybe something inspiring or encouraging. But in case y'all are actually new around here, this is not something we typically do.
No. If this is your first episode, don't base it.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
But I racked my brain and the Google machine. And I reached out to, you know, my outdoorsy friends for inspiration. And we landed on the story of Grandma Gatewood, the first woman to ever solo the Appalachian Trail.
I love it!
Yeah. So, and she's also a pioneer of thru hiking.
Or ultralight hiking. I'm so excited. And if this doesn't prove that I'm outdoors adjacent, I don't know what will, because I've never heard of this in my life. So I'm very excited.
So before we get into her story, I'm going to give you like a few bullet points on the AT. We've talked about the AT before. I say Appalachian. I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to say Appalachian, something like that.
I
say Appalachian, though.
But whatever.
I'm from Ohio. But we haven't talked about it in about a year. So I'm just going to do a quick refresh for y'all. And I think it's episode 41. That is our other AT episode.
I think you're right. Also, for the record, just if y'all are watching this on YouTube, yes, I'm eating my dinner while she's doing this. Don't come at me. Okay, I'm very excited.
So here's our quick refresh on the AT. The Appalachian Trail is approximately 2,200 miles long, but much of the original trail has been relocated and rehabilitated, which will come into play in our story. It was first conceived in 1921 and completed in 1937. The first person to ever thru-hike it was Earl V. Schaefer, a 29-year-old soldier. The fastest thru-hike to date, according to my Google source, I didn't double-check this, took only 41 days. And approximately 20,000 people have now completed a thru-hike. About a quarter of people who attempt it finish.
41 days?
Yeah. He was an ultra-marathon runner.
Ah.
That's our little background on the AT. And then one last thing before I get into her story. There is a book about her journey that I used as my main source for this entire thing, and that is why it is so long. I highly recommend it to everyone because it's obviously going to go into way more detail about her than I could in a 45-minute podcast. The book is Grandma Gatewood's Walk, The Inspiring Story of the Woman Who Saved the Appalachian Trail by Ben Montgomery. And it was fantastic. He had access to, like, her journals. Her family was really forthcoming and, like, shared a lot of, like, her writings, newspaper clippings about her, all this stuff, so that he could write this book. And it's really well done, in my opinion. So, and then one last thing, small disclaimer. Like I said, the trail changes in part every year, so it's slightly different from one year to the next because of maintenance, stuff like that. They've actually changed, like, the southern terminus from when she did her original through hike to now. So now it's Mount Springer. Back then it was a mountain whose name escapes me. So the mileage numbers that I'm about to say are definitely off from what she actually hiked. But I can't tell you exactly how many miles she hiked because it was the 1900s and the that information is not available to me. So the total is about 2,200 miles, give or take, you know, them changing the trail. So to start out, I have a line from the book. There were a million heavenly things to see and a million spectacular ways to die.
Oh my gosh. How old was she when she did this?
67.
I love her.
She's fantastic.
I love her. I need to read
So let's book. Learn about her. Emma Gatewood, before hitting the trail and earning her trail name Grandma, was actually a grandmother. She was born Emma Caldwell on October 25th, 1887. In southeastern Ohio, near the border of Ohio and West Virginia. She grew up poor, the 12th of 15 children, 10 girls, 5 boys.
Oh my lord.
Yes.
Nope.
Many, many children.
A lot of pregnancies.
Yeah.
And a lot of labors.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And she worked through her childhood on the family farm. Until she was 13, her and her siblings would go to school between 2 and 4 months out of the year when the farm work wasn't too much for them to be gone. And at 13, her father sold their farm and the family moved. Here, the children were able to go to school more full-time, and Emma made it all the way through to an eighth-grade education, which is where that school stopped. At the ripe age of 19, she was married to the catch of the town.
19.
At 19. A pillar of the community, if you will.
Wait, in a good way or a bad way?
Well, everybody else thought it was a good way.
They always do, though.
That's the point.
Okay.
I use those words on purpose. His family was extremely wealthy. He had a college degree. And after 6-ish months of giving her rides on his horse home and her keeping him at arm's length for the proprietary of it, he proposed and they were wed. This marriage.
After 6 months?
It was the 1800s.
I mean, yes. But
well,
like,
the
oh
early
my gosh.
1900s.
Yeah.
It was 1907. This marriage was not a happy one.
Clearly. Pillar of the community.
Yep. So within 3 months of being married, her new husband, pillar of the community, began to beat her.
Of course he did.
Also, you might be wondering if I'm ever going to say his name. I'm not, because this is her story.
This is her story.
This is just like information to show you like what she's been through and how tough she is.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about him.
Nope.
So she considered escaping back home. She'd only been married for 3 months and she thought about going home, but it was 1907. She had no job, no education really, and it would literally be putting a burden on her parents if she returned. So she stayed, like so many other women had to back then. Emma became a mother to 11 children, and to escape her husband's abuse, she would often go outside. Her children would recall their mother teaching them about songbirds and how to identify edible plants. They would also recall personal horror stories of their mother being beaten. The last time he would beat Emma was in September of 1939. Their son interrupted the beating and helped his mother escape. She later returned to the empty house, only to have her husband return. She heaved a 5-pound sack of flour at him, which, like, is not a lot of flour. Just so we all have an idea. And even though she was visibly beaten, accounts say her ear was black, she had a cracked rib, and much more, she was arrested.
You've got to be fucking kidding me.
Nope.
It was early 1900s, so of course. But
pillar
geez.
Of the community. She threw a bag of flour at him. Luckily, the mayor of the town helped her get out of jail and recognized what was actually going on. And then she filed for divorce, which was granted.
Go, girl. Yes.
Yes.
Leave his ass.
After this, even though her husband did what he could by not paying alimony or the farm that she was awarded in the divorce, she said she was happy ever since. When people would ask, she would say that she was widowed. My feelings are because he was dead to her.
I literally just sat here and was like, because he's dead to her.
Yeah. But in reality, it was likely because of the stigma of divorce in those days. Now on to the AT. Emma first learned of the Appalachian Trail in 1949, just 12 years after it was finished, from an article in National Geographic. The first man to have ever completed the trail in one push, or what we now call thru-hiking, had done so the year before. Her first attempt on the attempt of the trail was in July 1954. At this time, only 5 men had completed a thru-hike of the trail. I thought, although I was 66, she would later write in her diary, I would try it. Also, all of my quotes of this from her are from the book. So if I'm speaking as her, it's a quote from the book. Her plan was to start in Maine and race the cold south. This attempt did not go well.
Yeah, racing the cold.
Yeah, I'm also like southbound. Tessa's doing southbound. Teach their own. I would not do southbound. You'll understand why once we get through this. So it didn't go as well as she would have liked, but she did learn many lessons. She carried too many clothes initially, having to almost immediately send some back. She also told quite a few people, including rangers, what her plans were. This backfired when, after being a little, quote-unquote, misplaced, and finding her way back, she was reprimanded by park staff. And while nowadays we preach about having call-outs and letting people know where you are for safety, back then, this got her many, you should go homes, and I wouldn't want my mother doing this. And after a week, she did go home. But while she quit this time, she was still a woman on a mission. Before her next attempt, she trained at her son's home in Dayton, Ohio. She started with walks around his neighborhood and built up until she was easily walking 10 miles a day. She had saved up money from working at a nursing home and had earned just enough to draw Social Security. She made herself a pack to carry and prepared her belongings.
She made her pack.
Yeah. I mean, it was also like 1950s.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have packs. Mm. I have the list. It's actually coming up soon. I was like, what she carried, which I would like to discuss. So, because it's wild to me. So, and she would sneak away into the woods overnight to figure out what she needed to carry and fine-tune her supplies.
Love that. Then, it's probably sneaking because it's night and her son would probably be like, Mom?
Yeah. Well, all of her kids, so she didn't tell her kids when she left initially, but all of them, when they found out, were like, yeah, I wasn't really worried about her. She's tough. Like,
she's got this.
Like, I wish she would have told me, but I'm not worried.
Not worried.
So then, in May of 1955, at 67 years old, she began again.
Do it. I'm here for it.
So I said earlier that she is considered one of the pioneers of ultralight backpacking. And she is, although ultralight looks very different now than it did for her. When she began her hike, she carried a tin of Band-Aids, a bottle of iodine, some bobby pins, a jar of Vicks salve, a light dress and slippers, a warm coat, a shower curtain for the rain, a Swiss Army knife, a flashlight, candy mints, a pen, a memo book, and some food and water. This was all placed in the denim sack that she had made herself.
Wow.
And that's it. So I don't know if you noticed, but could you maybe pick out some things that
sleeping bag
she wasn't carrying? Yep.
Tent?
Yep.
A backup pair of shoes. I mean, you don't really. I mean, I don't guess you carry a backup pair of shoes, but like, I don't know. Maybe. Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. I was like,
that
is
seems
that a
heavy.
Thing? Yeah, I know. And that's why I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, ultralight. But yeah, a sleep system of any kind.
Yeah.
Where was she planning on sleeping? Like,
she just, like, slept outside. She'd, like, put, like, leaves together or, like, grass or something and just be like, sleep.
Good.
Yeah.
Lean against a tree.
And I have this way later. But when she first, like, heard about the trail, it was just finished. So they were like, yeah, it's, like, pretty nice. It's really well marked. There are all these shelters. And while nowadays that is true, she quickly found out that that was not so true back then. And, like, some of the shelters were, like, falling apart. Some of them were, like, destroyed. Some of them were fine. there weren't as many, you know.
Yeah.
So while nowadays it's a little bit easier to count on the shelters on the AT, you know, 13 some year or however many years after it was created, not so much.
Yeah.
So that's what she carried.
Wild.
Let's talk about what she wore.
Yeah, because you said she packed a light dress and a warm coat.
Mm-hmm. She wore overalls and KED sneakers.
But hey, you go,
girl. She did it at one point in the book, because they were talking about how, like, hiking boots would be more recommended, right? Yeah. But they were like, I guess if you're a 67-year-old woman who's already walked 1,000 miles, you probably better know what's best for your feet than anybody else.
Yeah. So is this her successful attempt?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what she had the whole time.
Yeah. Well, obviously, like, she, like, traded some stuff out.
Yeah. And, like,
kind of talk about
sent
that.
Sent some stuff back.
Yeah.
But she says on this trip she carried too many clothes? Or the first one?
No, the first trip.
Okay. I was like, she has no clothes.
Yeah. The first trip she carried too many clothes. And so this one, obviously, she, like, really pared down.
Yeah.
It's part of through hiking. But nowadays we call them, like, a shakedown, and somebody else usually does it, and they, like, help you get stuff out of your pack.
Like, you don't need
that. But she, like, just figured it out for herself. Yep. Like, I don't need that. So I'm going to start getting into, like, her hike. And I try to, like, keep in interesting moments and, like, state line markers, stuff like that. But, like I said, there's, like, 200-page book about this, and this is a 45-minute podcast. Like,
yeah. Can't get
I can't talk about, like, all the different things that happened, all the different people she met. I tried to, like, condense it as much as I could, and I still think it's kind of long. So read the book. It'll be linked in the description, the show notes, the blog,
everything,
all the places.
Everywhere. Yeah.
So read the book. Anyway, back to Emma. So she wore overalls and KED sneakers, and on May 3rd, 1955. After getting a rather unenthusiastic cab ride to the southern terminus, Emma Gatewood set off on her through hike. As she hiked, she would sleep in lean-to shelters, on soft beds of leaves she pushed together, or in strangers' homes that would let her sleep there for the night. Some people she met were friendly and gave her a warm place to stay and a belly full of food, but not all people in the mountains are trusting of newcomers.
Yeah.
She was also turned away a lot.
Yeah.
On May 14th, only 11 days after she started, Emma crossed her first state line.
Wow.
Leaving the 76 miles of Georgia behind her. North Carolina was next.
14 days, 76 miles? Not bad.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty good.
I say this, I think, a couple times, but she, at the beginning, was, like, booking it.
Yeah.
She was, like...
She really was trying to outrun the cold. Like, she really was.
Well, this time she's going north.
Oh, right. She was going
north. So, yeah.
Time.
When she was racing the cold, she started in Maine and was heading south and was like, we're not doing that again. So now she's in Georgia, southern terminus, going north.
And that's what you would recommend.
That's the way I would do it.
Yeah.
That's the way most people do it. Everybody, but hike your own hike, man.
Yeah.
I also, like, am a fan of the flip-flop, which is where you start in the middle and then, like, go down and then come back to the middle and go up. I feel like that's fun.
Do you hike back?
No.
Okay. I was like, why? It's twice the distance.
You, like,
no, it's more than that.
You start in the middle,
it's
hike
and
south, and then, like, bus back up or, like, get a car ride or something or a plane.
Yeah. And go.
And then start in the middle and go up. It helps a lot with the crowds.
Yeah.
So you can flip-flop it. You can hike however you want to hike.
Yep.
If and when I ever through hike, I will be doing it northbound. So North Carolina. Next state. And you might be thinking, Tiffany, what about South Carolina? The trail doesn't go through South Carolina. I checked, like, three times because I was like, how do we go Georgia, North Carolina?
It's just jump that little corner there, I guess.
Yeah, it's just that there's this little part where Georgia and North Carolina touch and you go that way.
That's right.
Just avoid South Carolina altogether. Anyway, North Carolina. Here, she fell and broke her walking stick, hiking up swim bald. But after checking to make sure she was okay, continued hiking. In between stops to nearby towns, as trail towns weren't what they are now, she would forage, ask day hikers, and drink collected rainwater. Late in May, she made it to Newfound Gap. P.S. I've been to this part of the Appalachian Trail. I was there, like, this year when we went to the Smokies.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, we got to go touch the AT. And that was like the closest part to us. So we went to Newfound Gap and we're like, Appalachian Trail.
Touched it.
So she's there in the Great Smoky Mountains.
You've stood where she stood.
I've been where she stood. And everyone who's through hiked has, well, not all of it, because again,
it's
the trail's changed,
but still,
parts of it.
They've been
same.
To at least that part.
Yeah. And you've been to like Katahdin, you know?
Yeah.
The important things. In the Great Smoky Mountains, and she decided to catch a bus to Gatlinburg to resupply and rest.
I was just in Gatlinburg.
Yep.
I'm sure it's very different now.
I agree. I think it got a little more touristy.
Yeah.
The South had been wetter than she anticipated, and the book actually mentioned that she thought the weather was odd for May in the South.
Yeah, same here.
So, after all of the, you know, she's basically walked through two states right now, and it keeps fucking raining.
Yeah.
Her original shoes have been destroyed.
Yeah.
So she thought, I should get some new shoes. And then she was like, also, it's been raining. Maybe I should get a raincoat instead of just the shower curtain.
Maybe.
So she buys a raincoat. She buys some new shoes. She's on her second pair of shoes. But her first pair of shoes made about 230 miles.
I mean, pretty good for kids.
Yeah. And she wears sneakers the entire time.
Okay.
So she doesn't ever get hiking.
Never changes.
She always gets like, they're like tennis shoes, sneakers, whatever you want to call them. So after a night in a motel, she hit the trail again for more mud, rain, and beauty. On May 29th, after leaving Hot Springs, North Carolina, she had a close call with a rattlesnake, which I didn't know we had in this part of the country.
Yeah.
Not that I'm in North Carolina right now.
Yeah.
But I thought that was like a west, southwest thing.
I think they were introduced.
Were they?
For whatever reason.
I don't like that.
Or by whoever. I don't think it was on purpose by anybody in charge of anything. But like.
I was just shook. But so this rattlesnake, like, struck at her, caught her overalls, not her. Thank goodness.
Thank God.
And then was like rattling. And she was like, I didn't notice you beforehand, before you like tried to bite me. But now we're going to just scooch.
We're just gonna whoop. Yep.
Yeah, just scooch around the rattlesnake. And so she was able to avoid harm. But this was one of her like first encounters with one of the dangers on the trail.
Yeah, like wildlife on the trail. Yeah.
Yeah. So for about another week or so, she straddled the North Carolina-Tennessee line. The trail there is like right along the border.
Yeah.
So you're fun. Just flip-flopping. So I don't have like a, on this day, she left North Carolina and entered Tennessee because she was just like on there. But by June 4th, she was firmly in the Tennessee part. Another state behind her and only a month in.
That's awesome. She's booking it.
Yep. 4 days later, she left Tennessee.
Wow.
This is mostly due to how the trail cuts through Tennessee, but yeah.
You knock a whole state out in 4 days.
Yeah,
that's
and she
awesome.
Had like kind of been in Tennessee for a while because
yeah,
it was like Tennessee, North Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina.
Yeah, but still, she like made it through the whole Tennessee part of the trail in 4 days. Like, yeah. I feel like that's impressive.
And it's like, you know, like a little corner. It's just like,
still.
That's why I said this is mostly due to how the trail cuts through Tennessee. But on June 8th, she made it to Damascus, Virginia. And at this point, she had hiked about 460 miles.
Wow.
So she is just, we're only a month in.
Yeah. I don't know if she got another pair of Keds sneakers, but I'm just going to keep saying those Keds shoes are just carrying her, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm just going to, and you know which ones I'm talking about, like the white ones.
Yes.
Like the really cute white
Yes.
Keds,
they're like canvas.
Top. Yes.
Yep.
Yep. That's what I'm picturing.
So Damascus, Virginia.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's known as Trail Town USA because it has a reputation for being friendly to thru hikers.
Probably not at this point.
Yep, it was not. In fact, Emma was turned away from a motel in Damascus because she was soaking wet. And they were like, no, you're not staying here. She gets turned away a lot for being like wet and dirty looking.
What? It's raining.
Listen, they turned away people for a lot less back then.
I mean, yeah. I'm surprised
they're like, I don't need your $2.
I'm surprised no one turned her away because she was a woman traveling alone.
I mean, fair. She did end up finding a cabin to rent and washed and slept there.
Cool.
On June 20th, she was discovered by some hiking enthusiasts. Keep in mind that at this point, not even her own children knew that she was doing this.
How? Okay. But like, wasn't she I guess she wasn't necessarily living with
him. No, she just like stayed with him, and then she was like, and she went to somewhere south by the AT and was like, stayed with like somebody else. And then she was like, all right, well, I'm like, thanks for having me. And like, got in a car and then just like went on the AT.
So like, no one was expecting her to show up anywhere. Yeah. So like, it's going to take a while for siblings and, to like, all get together and be like, have you heard from mom? No, have you?
No, have you? Yeah, and it's 1950. It's not like,
to send letters.
Yeah, we couldn't like text people.
No. They probably don't have to necessarily send letters. You probably had a
You could call people.
You could call, but like,
you probably didn't have a cell phone in your house unless you're rich.
In the house. And they probably didn't have voicemail, did they? When were voicemail things?
Like, I don't know. But regardless, none of her kids were really concerned.
No.
Again, it was only like a little, a month.
If I don't hear from my mom in 2 days, I'm texting my brother. Have you heard from mom?
And her kids were aged between like 20 and 40, because remember, there were 11 of them.
11, yeah.
So they all had their own kids.
So Miss Pregnant Woman, how, can you imagine going through that at least 11 times? Just because she birthed 11 children doesn't mean she was only pregnant 11 times, but...
First of all, I would never want to have that many children, because it's just so many to take care of. Like, ugh.
Nope.
But also, she was like being beat the entire time, so like,
yeah, you know, anything.
That's way worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep some perspective. She started being beat by her husband when she had been with him for 3 months and was with him for like 32 years. Pretty much constant beating. So
anyway.
Also, wait, I didn't put this in my notes. Her husband killed a man and got off.
Oh my gosh, the fucking pillar of the community.
Yeah. I hate
this guy.
And then like he did have to like pay a $50,000 settlement, which like now was a lot, and back then was
a lot of money,
and it like ended up like causing financial ruin in the family, and like they had to like sell their farm, and like all these bad things happened because he like fucking killed a man.
Yep.
But who paid for it? His wife, who he was abusing, and his 11 children. Anyway, back to Emma, whose story we're actually here to talk about and is super inspiring and fantastic. June 20th, hiking enthusiasts. Enthusiasts. We got on this.
Enthusiasts.
Enthusiastics. Blah, blah, blah.
I love that.
But we got on her children because her children didn't know what she was doing. But convinced her to let them tell the world her story.
Yes.
And on June 21st, it ran in the Roanoke Times. The headline ran.
I'm so sorry. Side tangent. I have a friend who worked for the Roanoke Times.
That's
forever.
So fun.
Yeah.
So the headline read, Ohio woman, 67, hiking 2,050 miles on App Trail.
And that's how her kids found out? Because she was in the news?
Well,
I love that. Or in the newspaper.
Her story was out and soon began to sweep the nation.
I love it.
This did finally prompt her to tell her children what she was up to. So she sent them postcards. It was like, BT
Wish
dubs.
Wish you were here.
I'm hiking.
So sent 11 postcards.
I don't think she sent them to all of her kids, to be completely
honest.
Probably
not.
She probably sent it to like the oldest.
And was like, tell your siblings where I am.
Yeah, in case anyone's worried or you see this in the news.
Yeah. And she's like holding up a sign that says, hi kids. And that's the picture that runs with the article.
It's like Becca's hi mom sign. So she did finally tell her children. And as she would continue, the story would spread and grow, and her trail name, Grandma Gatewood, was born.
Oh, I wonder, do you know how many grandchildren she had?
Out of 11 kids, like, I mean, I think it was like 20 or 30 grandchildren.
My mother would be a happy Gigi with like 20 grandbabies.
Well, she should have had 11 children then.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
She can get max 4.
Maximum.
Maybe 2.
Yeah.
One from me, one from you.
Yeah.
So she kept hiking. At one point, she followed some old blazes and ended up sneaking into a radar station for the Air Defense Command.
Ah.
A huge security facility because of the Cold War.
Also, blazes are the marks on the
trail. Yes.
For anybody who doesn't know what that is. Yes. That like tells you, this is the trail.
This is, it's like a trail marker is another word for it. It's a, and the AT, they're white. So the white painted strip on the tree. But she just accidentally wandered into this like high security facility.
I love that. She's probably like, oh, better turn around and just turn around.
She like walked in and then like all these like, I'm going to say army guys. That's not what they were. But like
all these people
came up towards her and were like, what are you doing here? And she was like, I'm supposed to be on the AT. And they're like, you're not on the AT. And she's like, whoops.
Let me just turn around and just.
She's like, guess I'm lucky I was not murdered right there, because I was definitely trespassing on government property.
They're probably like, she's a 67-year-old grandmother. She's
Also, she was like 5'2".
Yeah, like 5'0". Yeah.
Super non-threatening.
You know what I picture in my head? This is probably not at all what she's like, but I just keep picturing Betty.
Oh, would Betty's you like girlfriend. A would you like a photo here?
Oh my gosh. Y'all, look at the book cover. Oh, so cute.
Okay, so on July 4th, or maybe 5th, she crossed into Maryland, another 550 miles behind her. This is another place where the trail skirts state lines, cutting through only 4 miles of West Virginia and then into Maryland. And if you can't tell, this lady was putting in the miles.
She was putting in the work, people.
Yeah. There were times where she was like, yeah, I just like hiked 20 miles that day.
Whatever. Yeah.
I'm also talking as if they interviewed her. He read her journals. She was deceased by the time this book came out. Yeah.
Still. You know, she probably, when she did tell people about the story, she probably did just like, yeah, so this day I did 20 miles. Next day I did about 23. Like, you know, and like it's no big thing. Like, well, she probably was like, oh yeah, anyone.
I talk about this kind of soon, but they're like, you know, these reporters are like meeting her and stuff. They're like, why are you doing this? And she's like, oh, I thought it'd be a fun, like a nice lark.
That'd just be fun.
Like being outside.
Just for funsies. Just
I heard about it. Thought it'd be a good time. Yep. So, and at this point, like many others in this journey, and by that I mean like many other points in this journey, she lost the trail.
Aww.
It was still a new trail, like relatively. Yeah. Like not a lot of people through hiked. So... old blazes would be by trail that had clearly been overgrown. The new blazes would be difficult to find. It wasn't well maintained. So this happened a lot. But she always found her way back. So a lot, often, she would lose the trail, find her way back. Lose the trail, find her way back. But she always kind of had, like, she had a good instinct for when she had lost the trail.
That's good.
And would always, like, backtrack and keep going. Yeah. So she made quick work of West Virginia and Maryland.
Of course she did. She made quick work of every other.
Yeah, she's just pew, pew, pew. Keep in mind, she started in May. Nowadays, it takes people like 6 to 8 months to do a through hike. She finishes in September.
Yeah.
So May, June, July, August, September. That's 5 months.
Yep.
And she's 67.
And sleeping on the ground under the stars or in lean-tos that she makes out of like branches or on soft patches of grass or leaves. And remember, it's been raining.
And the trail's not well trailed. It's not traily like it is now.
Yeah. So
she's just like, fine.
It's fine. Guys.
She did not act like it was like no big deal, but it's funner to think that. Because she was just like, you know, I decided to do this and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she crossed into the next large state, Pennsylvania, on July 9th. She had completed over 1,000 miles of trail at this point. But the hardest part of the trail, or so they say, I've never done it, is the northern half. And she was just getting started on that. Hikers will say things like Rocksylvania. Mm. Because when hiking northbound, that is when the wooded trail becomes rockier and more scrambly. That's the word I'm using. Less just walking, more like boulders and climbing.
Do you think that's why people who choose to go southbound do it? They get the worst.
They get the worst part out first. Yeah. That to me, that's why they do it. And like northbound people are like, well, I want to build up my strength.
Yeah, I
get my hiking legs before I'm there.
Yeah, because like you can train as much as you want, but nothing's gonna get you
your hiking legs.
And being on the trail.
Yeah. So to each their own.
Yeah.
All along the way, reporters were finding her to interview. Her story was spreading and everyone wanted the exclusive. Sometimes they got it right, and sometimes they got it mostly right. One article added a sleeping bag that she never carried and nearly doubled the weight of her pack. Most of them asked her why she was doing this, and she gave a variety of similar answers. I'm a great outdoor enthusiast. She'd tell them that her father... Quote. She'd tell them that her father always told her, pick up your feet, and that through rain and snow, through the valley of the shadow of death, she was following his instruction. End quote.
Aww.
So she just, you know, gave answers. They weren't the same. It was just... a thing to do. I like being outside. Heard about it, thought it'd be a nice lark.
Yeah.
She continued through Pennsylvania, while rockier terrain sliced at her sneakers, and less hospitable people shooed her away along the trail. Besides the constant attention from the media, Pennsylvania also delivered the need for bigger shoes, growing out of women's sizes at the store she stopped at. She bought an 8.5 at this time, which astonishes me that women's sizes couldn't accommodate.
Yeah.
Because even if you like translate an 8.5 in men's shoes, because she bought an 8.5 men's to a woman's shoe, that's like nowadays a 10.5. Yeah. Which is my shoe size
so
when
she
I'm not
she
hiking.
Grew out. Do you think her feet are swelling?
Yeah, everybody's feet swell on the trail.
Yeah.
Just what happens when you walk that far.
Yeah.
Your feet get bigger. Well, and sometimes your feet get longer because you're like walking
you're
so
spreading.
Much, it's like pushing the arch out of your foot.
Yeah.
So pretty much everybody has to like size up on shoes as they through hike.
Okay.
So that's a pretty normal phenomenon. But
so
it,
do you
I
send
was...
them ahead or do you buy them in a trail?
Whatever you want to do. People do different things. Many of the motels and hotels through this state turned her away because her disheveled appearance often soaked from the rain, but she managed okay enough. On July 22nd, she left Pennsylvania and entered New Jersey, the 8th state of her trip. New Jersey contains about 70 miles of trail, which took her about 5 days to push through.
Oh my gosh.
And into New York. The main thing of note that happened here in New York was that Sports Illustrated went out of their way to contact her.
Wow.
She promised to call the reporter when she hit New York for a feature to be done on her. Emma met up with the reporter a few days into New York and was joined for a bit of a trail interview. They hiked and talked. The next day, Emma climbed Bear Mountain, a grueling climb for her by the sounds of it. She'd also fallen again while near the end of Pennsylvania and kind of injured herself, which made it more difficult to do the climb.
Yeah.
So she climbed Bear Mountain, met with the reporter again, and then there's like this big Sports Illustrated feature on her. When I say that, I don't actually know how big it was, but
still
a whole thing. And so now she's getting into like more and more pop, like less local news, more like pop, like she was in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Right. And after this, like, people know her, and she's getting, like, stopped every time she goes into town for interviews and photos. Like, people really care, and so her story's just spreading and spreading. My favorite thing that happened in New York was when Emma happened upon the Ludington Girl Scout Camp.
Aww.
The counselors invited her to stay for dinner, and afterwards, she sat around telling bright-eyed young girls about what she was doing.
I love that.
All of them asked her for autographs when she was done.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
Oh.
I'm like, you know what we're about? Encouraging the next generation of female hikers.
Yes.
Like, let's go. So on August 1st, she entered Connecticut, marking about 1,400 miles of trail done. And at this point, she was averaging about 17 miles a day. That includes when she, like, doesn't hike because she's, like, taking a rest day or, like, something like that. So, about 17 miles a day. I've only hiked that far in a single day a couple of times. And damn.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Damn, like, where beavers live. Then things kind of started to change.
Mm.
And by things, I mean the weather.
Oh, no. She is north and she ends in September. It starts getting cold.
Well, a hurricane was brewing.
Ugh.
And would slam the East Coast, causing torrential downpours and destruction.
Yep.
4 days later, on August 5th, the rain started. She continued through it, making it to Massachusetts by August 8th, but the storm around her was growing. The North is kind of known for being wet and rainy and shitty.
Yeah.
So even when there was an utter downpour some days, it wasn't too off-putting for her, and she just kept hiking. She left Massachusetts and entered Vermont on August 11th.
Wow.
They're not like, she's not like going the whole length of the state.
I know, but still just, I don't know. It's just still cool.
I mean, she's still moving fast. I don't want to like,
yeah,
act like she's not.
Yeah, don't want to downplay it, but it's not like she's crossing an entire
state. She didn't hike like
500
miles
in
4 days.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So the next few days, the rain increased. The book states, quote, On the Appalachian Trail through Green Mountain National Forest, Emma was not walking so much as wading, end quote.
Yeah.
The creeks and streams she would come across after this point were all swollen and rushing. Also, Emma couldn't swim.
Oh.
She ended up hiking during this part, so it's like storming, the streams are terrible, there is like water rushing everywhere, and she wants to keep going. So she ends up hiking with a group of young men who helped her across the creeks, shouldering responsibility for the old woman making it safely to the other side.
Aww.
In an interesting turn of events, these youths, also keep in mind, it's the 1950s. These youths were black, young black men, who were actually the heads of rival gangs that had been brought into the woods by a church leader in like an attempt to kind of unify them and make them not rival gangs. And they ended up like kind of bonding because there was this storm and there was this like old white woman who needed their help.
Hike. Yeah.
Yeah. And was like the church leader would later like write about this, and he could say, you know, she couldn't hide the fact that she was an old Southern white woman with like a drawl and that she was like kind of uncomfortable, but she never like said anything. She stayed with them. She was thankful for their help. And later he would write, quote, like people trapped in a lifeboat, we came together to try to stay afloat, end quote.
Aw.
So the sun eventually came out, but the rivers were still rushing in deep. The next day, after departing from the group she had been with through the storm, she came across another rushing riverbed, but she was alone.
Mm.
She knew it wasn't safe to attempt by herself. River crossings are not safe to attempt by yourself.
Do not, yeah, don't do it.
And waited until she came across some other hikers. The pair of men, Navy boys, tied her between them, and the trio made their way across, fighting rushing currents and slippery rocks. Once they were safely on the other side, she said with a laugh, quote, well, you got grandma across.
Yeah.
The men also marveled at her tiny pack. She carried less than 20 pounds of supplies, while they had each lugged 55 pounds into the woods for their short jaunt. This entire time, though, Emma was lucky. She was passing through areas just before the weather became deadly. And while it definitely wasn't a walk in the park, she managed to avoid a lot of the hurricane force storms. Wow. Around August 19th, she crossed into New Hampshire, another state behind her. This is also the last state before Maine, where the northern terminus of the AT lies. In New Hampshire, her knee was getting worse. So she's fallen a couple of times.
Yeah, and
she's old.
Herself.
She hurt herself. Time. Yes.
Yeah.
And her knee's just not having any of it. And the terrain's rougher, so it's harder on her injury. She kind of, I don't know if she falls more because I didn't write it down and I don't remember. But it feels like things aren't great going well for her in her body. And again, the terrain in New Hampshire, Maine, terrible. Climbing up Mount Webster was more climbing and less hiking, with ladders whose rungs were too far apart for her small frame to climb easily. But she met a group of people that had been waiting for her, as her acclaim had really spread, and everyone was hoping to meet the grandmother who was hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Aww.
Kind strangers bandaged her knee and gave her additional layers for the cold weather that was encroaching. She continued through New Hampshire, getting more turned around on the trail due to, quote, her own ignorance and a poorly marked trail, end quote. But on September 2nd, she entered the 14th and final state on her journey, Maine.
Oh, I want to cry. I'm so happy for her.
It's like, she's so cool.
Yes.
It's a huge accomplishment alone to make it this far, but getting to Maine isn't the end. The reason that most hikers nowadays thru-hike North Mound is because Maine is some of the roughest terrain. They save the worst for last. After months and miles have built up their strength and endurance. And as Emma Gatewood sat atop her first mountain in Maine, night was falling and America was pulling for her.
Yes.
280 miles stood between her and her goal. In those miles contained Mahoosuc Notch, the most difficult single mile of the trail, multiple more rugged mountains to climb, which include some of the state's tallest peaks, freezing temperatures, and at the end, Katahdin. At this point, Emma's knee was causing her pace to slow down, only making it about 8 miles a day, significantly down from the 20 she was regularly pushing before. Although some days she still hit like 15, 17.
Yeah.
But averaging. Her average is way down. The cold was also making things difficult, as she had to stop early some days just to build a fire to warm up her extremities. At this point, though, finding shelter was a little easier than it had been at the beginning, because people wanted to help her. They knew her story. Unfortunately, the trail through Maine has long stretches where to this day there aren't towns or home. This is the home of the 100-mile wilderness. But before entering that, she stopped in Monson. There's only one O. Monson.
Yeah, there we go. I like that one.
We'll go with that. The last town before the 100-mile wilderness, and stayed with a young couple in a cabin. But the next stretch of trail was unkind to her. The trail was badly kept due to the storms that had ravaged the area, and it was more like bushwhacking than hiking at some points. She fell at one point, spraining her ankle, bruising her eye, and breaking her glasses.
Oh no!
She walked her last day in the 100-mile wilderness blind, but made it to Rainbow Lake. When she was asked about the trail by the same Sports Illustrated reporter that she had previously met, she said a lot about how the trail conditioners weren't great like she had been promised by National Geographic. She said, quote, "This is no trail. This is a nightmare. For some fool reason, they always lead you right up over the biggest rock to the top of the biggest mountain they can find. I've seen every fire station between here and Georgia. Why, an Indian would die laughing his head off if he saw those trails. I would never have started this trip if I had known how tough it was. But I couldn't and wouldn't quit."
Yes.
End quote. So, on September 25th, 1955, Emma Gatewood summited Mount Katahdin.
Woo!
She was in her 7th pair of tennis shoes.
Oh my gosh.
Her 146th day of hiking. Quote, "She had lost 30 pounds, her glasses were broken, her knee was sore," end quote. But she did
able
it.
To, like, mend them to where they were usable, at least,
her glasses?
Yeah.
I don't have this in here. She ended up giving them to the Sports Illustrated reporter because she came back to, like, talk to her again at the summit. She gave them to the Sports Illustrated reporter who, like, went and got them fixed for her in town.
Aww.
So, she, like, had them fixed by the time she went home, but when she summited, like, she couldn't see.
Aww. And then you couldn't see, like, the view of, like, where you would come and...
Yeah.
But you made it.
She did it. And I think she could, like, kind of see, just, like, her glasses were broken.
Yeah.
So she secured her place in history as the first woman to ever thru-hike the Appalachian Trail and the 6th person ever.
That's awesome.
But that's not where this story ends.
I love it.
In 1957, she did it again.
I love it!
Becoming the first person to ever do it twice.
I love it.
She kept hiking and climbing mountains, remaining popular in the press for doing so. I think at one point she did, like, the whole Oregon Trail, like, horizontally across the country.
Jeez.
Like, what? She did so many things. She climbed all these mountains. Like,
that's
again,
awesome.
Read the book, because I can't go into all of her accomplishments because we're trying to keep this to, like, you know, 45 minutes. But she's amazing. She did so much more. Oh, also, she did it a third time.
Oh my gosh!
In 1964. First person to ever do it 3 times.
That's amazing.
So she's just a badass. She's like a hiker.
In the best way.
In the best way.
In the most true way.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she ended up passing in June of 1973 after a long and very full life. She is listed as many things. A mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, pioneer for ultralight hiking, first female AT thru-hike, founder of the Buckeye Trail, and much more. But her tombstone simply says, Emma R. Gatewood, Grandma.
Aww.
She is also credited by some for starting the thru-hiking phenomenon, especially of the AT. She is the reason a lot of people knew about the trail, bringing attention and interest, which resulted in better-maintained trail conditions. If you're hiking the AT today, you probably have her to thank.
Thank Grandma.
So now, to finish this very long episode that I condensed as much as I possibly could, I want to end with another quote from her. Quote, "The forest is a quiet place, and nature is beautiful. I don't want to sit and rock. I want to do something."
I love that.
And that is the story, albeit very abridged, of Grandma Gatewood.
I love it. I'm about to cry. I love that. I love it.
That's what I have for you this week.
Yeah.
I actually brought you like a nice heartwarming story for the first time ever.
Yes. I love it.
And to Tessa and all the other Southbound Thru hikers that are getting ready to start or maybe already have, good luck.
Yes.
Good luck. You can do this. Grandma Gatewood can do this. You can do this.
South and northbound, all y'all.
Yeah, the northbounders have already been hiking for months at this point, at least most of them. So,
yeah.
Southbound starts typically end of May, early June. So,
okay. You got this.
You guys got this. One step at a time.
Yep. One pair of shoes at a time.
One pair of shoes at a time. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
I'm glad.
Thanks for sharing Grandma Gatewood with us.
And thanks to Becca because she had the idea.
Yes, so. Thanks, Becca. Thank you, Becca. And thanks, Tessa, for hiking the AT so we had a reason to have a heartwarming story.
I wanted to do something inspiring. I'm not going to lie. Yes. I thought of just like being like, here's the history of the AT and then like bullet pointing like terrible things that have happened there. But that felt like the wrong way to send her off.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Yes. I don't think she would have appreciated that. We can do that like while she's on the trail. And she won't be listening to this.
To celebrate her finishing.
Yeah, then we'll be like, so here's all the terrible things that could have happened to her.
But they didn't.
But they didn't.
She's going to be fine.
Yeah. But yeah, well, I hope you guys loved that as much as I did, because I really did love it. And just keep it simple, I guess. In the meantime,
stay safe out there. Thanks for watching. Music by Purple Planet. Art by Ruby Congrove. Logo by Catherine Dodds. For more information and our sources, head over to thenotsogreatoutdoors.com. For updates and announcements, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at NSGOPod. Don't forget to subscribe on all of your favorite podcasting platforms.